Welcome back, YouTube, to another FPL Family video. Lee and Sam here, fresh for another season, Sam. We've already had the fixtures, and if you haven't checked out our fixture video yet, go back in the channel, have a look at that one. But today, we got nine teams releasing their FPL prices. Interesting that the Premier League teams themselves did it rather than the official FPL guys. I kind of like that. That was good.
I loved it.
Nice dynamic.
I thought it was so rogue. It was when this randomly Arsenal, like 10 o'clock this morning, went, here you go, here's some FPL prices.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
Absolutely.
Father's Day presents for all the dads out there. Happy Father's Day to all the dads.
There we go. Happy Father's Day, FPL dads. And we got nine of the teams today. Who knows when we're going to get the next nine? I guess soon.
11.
The next 11, sorry, yeah. More than 18 teams in the Premier League, of course, but we're due to get, I guess, the rest of them.
Sometime
over the next few days or week. I guess. They're not going to give us nine and leave out the others, I guess.
We normally have it over a few days, don't we? So getting nine in one day, I'm kind of a bit like,
it's going to happen. And fingers crossed, that means the game can't be too far away, Sam. They must be releasing the game pretty soon.
Is it nearly tinker time, do you reckon?
It's going to be nearly tinker time. And what are we going to start with, Sam? We're going to start with the team that kicked it off. As you rightly said, a shock to us all when the Arsenal Twitter, rather than official FPL, released these prices. But what are you saying about these Arsenal prices? Because I must say, as a start for 10, I was a bit underwhelmed.
Well, Aubameyang back as a forward this year is really fascinating to me. I thought
10 mil for Aubameyang. You're not buying that, are you?
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, I went back.
I don't think so.
I went back in the aftermath of all this happening and looked at the prices from right at the end of last season. Because generally speaking, players are at their peak, aren't they, by the end of the season, in terms of their price point anyway. Yeah. So I had a little look, and Aubameyang finished the season at 11.3, and he'd had a number of price drops, actually. So he'd done the reverse of what I just said.
Yeah.
He's gradually got less as the season went on. So he's taken a huge price hack this year.
Yes, but he's also a forward, so that kind of balances that out. So on the basis of what we saw at the end of last season, would you go for Aubameyang or would you go for somebody else? I mean, Pepe at 7.5?
Yeah.
Don't you start with me. Pepe doesn't feel anything.
Pepe feels all right at that
price point. No, don't. Let's.
Feels all right.
There was a lot on Twitter about, don't fancy Aubameyang at 10, but Pepe at 7.5. I reckon these prices that got released got to come to people's heads. I think that there was the FPL being back excitement got to people's heads. No way. Are you going in on Pepe at 7.5?
I'll think about it.
No, don't give me that.
I must admit, I'm really interested in Smith Rowe. I think that's quite a nice price point. I'd be intrigued to know what Saka is because I think, having seen some of the other team prices that came out later on in the day, we're going to need some budgets. We're going to need budget players.
Always, yeah.
But even particularly this season, I did a bit of maths in my head and was thinking, I spent half my budget on like four players here.
And go on, and Gabriel at 5, I don't think I'm getting too excited about that. But that for me suggests that I'm going to be able to get into the Arsenal defence with perhaps Tierney at 5.5. I'm kind of guessing his price a little bit there.
I suspect he'll be a bit more than Gabriel.
Do you think Tierney will be 5.5, 6? And if he's 5.5, are you tempted?
Well, looking at the other defenders that are in that 5.5 bracket, we're talking about Creswell, who we'll see later when we talk about West Ham.
Yes.
So I suspect that, I would be putting Tierney in and around that same price point. I can't see that he's worth additional to Creswell. He certainly wouldn't be in my FPL team, that's
okay.
For sure.
All right, well, let's move to the other side of North London. Then your boy Spurs, Lloris, Son, Kane and Højbjerg. And again, I hate to sound like a pessimistic guy, but I wasn't really feeling this either. Although a lot of Twitter, FPL Twitter, was saying that actually 12.5 for a City forward ain't too bad. Harry Kane at 12.5, what are we saying?
Well, I've just spent 22.5 million.
Oh, so he's locked in your team then?
100%.
That's him done.
You cannot.
In my opinion,
regardless of what shirt Harry Kane wears next season, and by the way, it's not looking like it's going to be in an England one for very long, is it?
The way we
keep playing.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that regardless, he's worth 12.5 all day long. Golden boot, most assists in the league last season. He's an absolute no-brainer for me. I was actually expecting him to be 13. So when I saw 12.5, I thought, hello. Cheeky 0.5 save there.
But can we as FPL managers lock into the Kane and Son dynamic duo? Yeah, the dynamic duo that we did many, many weeks last season.
Those two started the
season like a house on fire last year. So can you afford to spend 22.5 million of your budget, almost a quarter of your budget on those Spurs boys with City first game? Not happening, is it?
Unlikely, I'd say, that you're going to have both. I mean, Son's a really fascinating one for me. So Kane ended the season at 11.9, so seeing him at 12.5 feels quite frankly reasonable. But Sun, on the other hand, never got anywhere near 10 last season.
Big price hike.
9.6 was the highest he got. So we're talking about a big, big jump for him. I think actually over the course of the season, what did he start at? Was he 9.5?
Maybe. Or was he 9? Can't remember.
I think he was 9 actually, and Bale was 9.5. I think Bale went in slightly more than Sun. But regardless, I think Son's expensive, but having said that, if Kane does leave, he's the talisman then, so maybe he's going to be worth 10 million. Let's find out. The other two I'm less interested in. Hoiberg is a non-asset.
Not really sure why they put Hoiberg in there.
Just because he's an absolute legend.
Missed the penalty the other day for Denmark. Ain't that good?
Look, I'm telling you, all the Danish boys are heroes in my view. Hoiberg especially.
Well, okay.
But I don't think he's, you know, from an FPL perspective. And Lloris, again, interesting one in there for me, because I actually thought he was going to leave this summer. So to see him on the pricing structure from Spurs maybe suggests he's not going to, but he's too expensive. There's some other keepers out there that have been priced really, really nicely.
Well, speaking of which, Sam, speaking of which, a lock in my team, and I was absolutely shocked when I saw this, by the way. And I think, given their fixtures, I'm just going to read you the Brighton fixtures for the first few weeks. It's Burnley away, Watford at home, Everton at home, Brentford away, before then a tricky looking game against Leicester at the Amex. But there's five fixtures, and actually there's even a couple after that. If you look on the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, if you're a member, you can have a look at the FDR on the front page of the Fantasy Football Scout website. Links in the description below. The Brighton fixtures look pretty good. So Sanchez at 4-5, he's my keeper. Look no further.
Well, I think...
Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, I think it is. I think...
Isn't it?
I do. I mean, I'm looking at this thinking, wow, this is a gift from the FPL gods, because it's nailed on starter at Brighton. He was fantastic for a lot of last season. I am kind of intrigued now, because I can see myself going with just him and a 4.0. And that will allow me to have much, much better budget across the rest of my team for all these essential big names that we're going to talk about, I'm sure, over the course of the season. So to be able to do that feels great. But if you want to get rotating keepers, the 4.5 bracket, suddenly if Sanchez is there, I'm thinking, oh, there's some other teams we haven't had announcements from yet.
Absolutely.
With decent keepers. If they're going to go in at the same price as Sanchez, FPL football teams are going to be filled with really, really good goalkeepers that you can rotate amongst the fixtures.
Yeah, and we'll come back to rotating goalkeepers in just a second, because I think I found a reasonable rotating goalkeeper for Robert Sanchez over the first 10 to 12 weeks. Ooh. So get on Twitter, at FPL Family, to find and look back at some of my tweets, because I think Brighton and Leeds United rotate pretty nicely for the first 10 weeks. But let me know in the comments below whether you agree. Take a look at those fixtures and see what you think. We'll talk about Leeds in a second, but elsewhere from Brighton, Grossin at 6, Trossard 6-5, Bissouma is a bit of a filler. You had him as a filler last season. Is 4-5 okay?
Yeah, I'd go with him again this season.
Okay.
As a fifth midfielder, Bissouma for me was a really nice option at the beginning of last season. And you asked me at the beginning of this, how are you going to afford all these players? Well, last year, if you remember, I did exactly this, and I afforded it with players like Bissouma.
Yeah.
And actually, when you're talking about a player that you don't need to come off the bench very often, but that is guaranteed to start and get game time, Bissouma's ideal for that. He's an ideal pick. He's never going to set the world on fire, although he did score that worldie goal.
That was a beauty.
Never going to set the world on fire, but it's enough to just tick over one or two points on your bench every week, which sometimes is all you need.
Yeah, if you can just get some minutes out of these guys, it's not a bad thing.
Get in it with him.
Difficult for us to sit here and say we're buzzing about Bissouma at 4-5, but he's an enabler. That's key.
As an enabler, I am buzzing about him because, guaranteed.
And if you're new to FPL, which a lot of you guys listening and watching will be, you're going to need these players.
Oh,
it's no good saying I want Aubameyang, Kane, Salah, Mane and Sterling.
You don't want Aubameyang.
Potentially at 10 million anyway. But the rules of FPL dictate that you cannot have all of those premiums. You've got to make sacrifices. You've got to find those enablers. And actually, Bissouma at 4-5, maybe one to have a look at. Maybe one to have a look at. Let's look at Leeds then. So I mentioned before, the rotation between Leeds and Brighton doesn't look too bad for quite a sustained period at the beginning of the season. So Melier coming in at 5.0 was a bit of a disappointment for me.
What were you hoping for? 4.5?
Well, I was hoping for 4.5 because then he got a rotation with Sanchez. But at 5... I can see why FPL have done it, because of the amount of saves that he made. And actually, on their day, particularly towards the end of the season, Leeds did tighten up at the back. So I saw the 5.0. I wasn't surprised, a bit disappointed on that from Melier. But elsewhere, I want to talk about Rafinha and Bamford, because out of those two, it's only one of those I'm picking, and it's not the Englishman. What are you saying about those prices?
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because, like I say, I spent a little bit of time before we came on to record this video looking at prices at the end of last season. And Bamford is one of the biggest price jumps I've seen.
Yeah.
So end of the season.
Not a surprise.
But ended 2021 at 6.6 million. Now 8 million. Now suddenly I'm like, ow, that's massive. Does it put me off? A little bit. I've got to be honest. It does put me off a little bit.
Yeah.
But Rafinha, on the other hand, again, another price hike. But that 6.5 bracket feels like it might be still okay. Finished the season, actually the reverse, at 5.6. Now up to 6.5.
But at 5.6 at the back end of last season, felt like he was... That was ridiculous price.
It was a
price.
Cheat code, right?
It was a ridiculous price for a player of his creative ability. Sure. Easily the most creative player in that lead side. So I was looking at today's prices thinking, well, 5.6 was, like you say, cheat code time. So if he gets to sort of 7, maybe even 7.5, I would still consider him at 6.5. I'm going to find it very hard to leave him out. Let me just read you the Leeds fixtures because they're not easy. It's United away first, then it's Everton at home, Burnley away, Liverpool at home, and then Newcastle away. So it's a tricky looking start for Bielsa's boys. Does that put you off of Rafinha, or is that price too good to turn down?
It doesn't put me off because this Leeds team fundamentally are going to be the same one that we saw last season. And we all know what they can do going forward. Rafinha is the key to that attacking fluidity and the momentum that they get. And they love an away game. So the fact that they've got multiple away games in those opening games doesn't really put me off. And I think when you're talking about a 6.5 million, at Bamford's price at 8, does put me off a little bit with those fixtures. And I think you can afford to kind of wait a little bit. But with Rafinha at 6.5,
nice,
I don't see anything wrong with investing there. The other interesting one for me is that Leeds, of course, very kindly, thank you Leeds United, released the whole of their price.
That's a fair point, yeah. A few of the teams actually put their whole price list out,
Leeds,
right?
Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah. Norwich did as well.
Went out there and said, here you are. Here's our whole squad.
Yeah, yeah.
So we also know that Dallas has indeed moved from defence into midfield for this season.
Mm.
Finished the season at 5.5 million, so FPL have just left him there at 5.5.
But put him in midfield, does that put you off of him a bit? Or does he still represent reasonable value at 5.5?
My personal opinion is, at 5.5, he still represents
good value.
Because although you won't get the defensive, well, as many defensive points, you still potentially get one if they keep the clean sheet. You don't get as many. But equally, we didn't own Dallas last season for the clean sheets. We owned him for the attacking potential he has. We're not seeing Dallas actually play in any different a position this season, I wouldn't have thought. We just got him in a different position in the game.
Mm.
So I think he still offers good value at 5.5 million.
All right, with that fixture list, I'm not tempted on the double up though. And if I had to choose between Rafinha and Dallas, I think I'd go for the Brazilian.
Unless I need the extra million.
Unless you need that extra million, which of course
you will.
Because you're bouncing. Let's talk about extra millions. A player that you're going to want in your team, I think, is Mr. Mo Salah, 12.5 million. Not a surprise, I don't think, when we saw that price for a player that's been on the verge of Golden Boot or Golden Boot winner for the last few years.
Yeah.
Top FPL point scorer the last few years. Premium asset extraordinaire, Mo Salah, 12.5, say no more. But talk to me about these other Liverpool prices, because Jota, for 5 million less, I think still represents reasonable value at 7.5, does it not?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting with this Liverpool lineup because Trent we've got at the same price, Robertson we've got at the same price as we saw them start last season.
Hold for those two, which I think is fair. Starting at
the same price again. So we've got holds on those big hitters, which I think is fair. I am a little bit surprised that Trent and Robbo didn't come down a little bit this year. I sort of expected 6.5 and 7 just because they didn't have the same level of season last year. But let's not forget, we've got Van Dijk back for this season.
Of course,
so things should improve for the Liverpool boys. And I do think you're probably going to want one of them. I might be tempted to go with Robertson over Trent, though, because I didn't see there much difference in them last season. And obviously,
we did towards the end of the season, though, didn't we? We did see Trent banging in a few goals, last-minute winners and stuff.
I know he's going to be back for the season, but you never know how long it takes him to come back. The interesting one, again, Liverpool releasing their whole squad. Mane in at 12. No, thank you.
Well, You have to say no at the minute. I mean, with Salah at 12.5, you've got to go for him over Mane, haven't you?
I'll go Dallas over Rafinha so I can have Salah over Mane.
Well, quite right. Yeah, quite right. So Mane, a bit of a no-go at 12. I was actually surprised to see him right up there.
I
thought he might have been down at the 11 point something.
Yeah.
But let's see. Anyway, Liverpool, not a lot of change. But if you want to go in for Jota at 7.5, wouldn't want to put you off quite like that. Jota and Salah, well, given the fixtures, let's remind ourselves, Norwich, Burnley, Chelsea, Leeds, Palace is the first five for Liverpool. Looks pretty good. I'd want to see them in pre-season. I'd want to make sure that they've got the Hendersons and the Van Dijks back fit and playing a few pre-season games, finding their feet to see whether Liverpool can hit the ground running. But Klopp's got to be looking at those fixtures and going, right, we need to score some goals early on and get off the mark sharpish here with teams that, you know, let's face it, we struggled against some of those teams. Crystal Palace and Burnley at home in particular, we struggled. So maybe, maybe with those two. I don't know. Let's wait and see what the whole game looks like, because there's other midfielders I'm sure I'm going to want, based on what I've seen in the Euros more than anything. Kai Havertz, hello. Looking forward to that one. Let's go to Crystal Palace. Zaha, Gaeta, Mitchell and Benteke released. Zaha coming in at 6.5, a whole 0.5 more than Rafinha. So in that price bracket for your third stroke fourth midfielder, I don't think I'm going to go Zaha over Rafinha.
No, thank you. Anybody maybe else while the transfer window's open.
Well, maybe, maybe.
But I think what was really interesting for me is the Mitchell thing, because Mitchell's come in really nice and cheap again. We did see consistency in his starts over the course of last season. So at 4.5, he could still offer exceptional value at the back there. I'm also, and I said this to you earlier when the Crystal Palace one came out, I want to know about Nathan Ferguson, because we spent...
Beginning of last season,
we all spoke about him a lot, and he was injured, and we were talking about how, you know, when he's fit, he'll be a really good FPL asset. And he just never got fit the whole season.
No.
He should be fit for the next season, but of course we've got the new manager stuff going on at Palace, so interesting to watch there, and I think there might be some value in those defenders.
Okay, all right. I'm interested to see how Eze comes in on his pricing. Were they one of the teams that released their whole list, Palace?
No, I haven't seen the whole Palace list
maybe
yet.
Keep an eye on those guys, but nothing there to really tempt me. Ditto Burnley, actually. I didn't look at those prices there for Pope, Wood, Tarkowski, me, and think, I really want to get in on any of those. Chris Wood with a bit of a price rise to 7. What were you saying about him?
Yeah, finished the season at 6.6 last year. I don't know. As you say, they're not hugely inspiring. I think the thing I have with Chris Wood is that he did have an exceptionally good end to last season, but he's often just a one goal here, one goal there type of striker. And I think there will potentially be better value in... We haven't seen it yet, but I'm intrigued to see the newly promoted sides and how much... Well, we can talk about one in a minute, but how much their strikers are, because we might get some more value in those guys over him. And Nick Pope, I think we've already seen some such good value in the goalkeeper position that I wouldn't want to spend that much on Nick Pope.
Pope's not worth a million over Sanchez, is
he? I don't think so.
All right, well, let's go to the other claret and booze then. West Ham with Antonio, Suchet, Creswell and Kufa. Now, the one that caught my eye here was Creswell. Creswell, 5.5 last season. Assist after assist after assist on set pieces, corners, etc. I think a record point score for him for in FPL last season. So for him to stick at 5.5... is kind of interesting. What do you think?
Really pleased he did. Yeah. Really pleased. I really enjoyed owning Creswell last season. He was one of my...
I really did not enjoy not having him. It was a thorn in my side, I'll tell you.
He was one of the reasons I beat you last season, because he just kept ticking over the points really nicely. I'm definitely interested. I think the West Ham, if they can continue with what they did last season going into this season, then we're looking at a really promising side. What's going to be interesting is, can they cope with European football and Premier League football at the same time, or are they going to do a Wolves? That's what I'm really interested to see, is can they fight on two fronts in a way that we'll need them to, because there's some really nice pricing going on there in the West Ham assets, to the point where I'd want to own more than one, but European stuff slightly concerned.
Yeah, can Antonio's hamstrings for 7.5 million deal with two games a week?
Indeed.
I'm going to suggest not, because they struggled to do one game a week last season, quite frankly. Let's finish up with Norwich. So Norwich were one of the teams to post their whole squad, all of their FPL prices. As we saw in the previous video, guys, again, check out our fixtures video if you haven't already, back on the channel. Really right at the bottom, Norwich, difficult in terms of their fixtures. Liverpool, City, Leicester, Arsenal in their first four. So very difficult. So for me, not going to be turning on the disco ball at the Pookie party on game week one, no doubt, because I want to see how these boys get on. But was there anything either from the graphic here or from the extended list of FPL Norwich prices that caught your eye?
Yeah, I mean, Pookie and Cantwell were the ones I was really focused on.
What was Cantwell?
I'm interested to see how how they're getting without Buendia is that's the other thing. So I think we have got time to wait on these guys. But equally, their pricing is quite nice. They're not overly expensive.
Cantwell 5-5, wasn't he on the longest?
Yeah, so I think we can. And I think there is justification if you're talking about going for some cheaper options in order to have the bigger hitters elsewhere. I think there's justification for owning these guys and benching them over the first couple of weeks. I'm pretty sure that's what I did with Cantwell at the beginning of the 19-20 season.
Yes.
So I can see myself doing that again over these first few game weeks where they're really challenging and just having him sat there. But I think there's some value in that Norwich side that we could definitely take advantage of.
Yeah, a bit deja vu, I think, for me from the previous time in the Premier League. I remember sitting here thinking, oh, I'm going to wait and see. They got Norwich-Liverpool on the first day, if I remember, a couple of seasons ago. And then Pukki exploded onto the scene and we all had him a few game weeks in. So maybe we get a repeat from that season. Who knows? So guys, let us know in the comments below what you think of the opening prices. We got the first 19s announced on Twitter by the Premier League teams, not by official FPL, by the actual Premier League teams, tweeting at least their top four players, if not their whole list. So look out.
All eyes on the other 11 clubs,
for the remaining,
right?
11 clubs. So who have we not had? We've not had Chelsea.
Watford?
We've not had Manchester United.
Man City?
We've not had Watford. Man City.
Southampton.
Big, big teams still to go, still to reveal their FPL prices. So not only do I want to hear your reaction to the prices we've had, but let us know your predictions for the prices we're yet to have. And of course, we'll be back with another video when we see it. It might be tomorrow. Who knows? If it's tomorrow, we'll be back tomorrow with another video doing those next 11 teams. So watch Twitter. Keep an eye on those Premier League clubs announcing their FPL prices, because it's coming soon. They're not going to do these nine and then wait a week.
Oh, I'd laugh if they did.
It's going to come soon.
If they do nine and then say nothing
It's going to come soon. I suspect part two of this video is coming
pretty soon. I'd like it if they did nothing
soon.
For a week. We'd all go mental. It's just all the FPL managers on Twitter going, where's the other nine? Where's the other nine? And FPL are going, ha ha, you've got to wait a week.
And then just drop the game and run away. Thanks, FPL. Guys, if you enjoyed the video, leave us a like before you go. And if you're new to FPL Family, hit that subscribe button. We're going to be doing more videos, more live streams all throughout the season. Every Sunday night, after the matches, we do a live gut feel reaction to what's going on and what's happened that weekend in FPL. We share our teams, we share our scores, we share our very early thoughts on what we're thinking for the next game week as well. So if you want to be alerted for when we go live or when we drop a new video onto the channel, hit that subscribe button, hit the little notify bell as well so that you know whenever a new video is dropped. Until the next 11 teams come live, we'll see you very, very soon. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.
Welcome back, YouTube, to another FPL Family video with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, yesterday we said, when we did our first video, price reveals video, we said we'd be back soon. And here we are, because today we had the remaining 11 teams releasing some of, if not all of, their FPL prices today on Twitter. Every 45 minutes again, we had the drip feed throughout the day. Have you enjoyed the way that the prices have been revealed this season? Or did you prefer it kind of player by player, very few price reveals, and then bang, the game? Have you liked it this year?
No, I've enjoyed it this
way.
It's
been good, right?
Yeah, because I think in my head now, I've got like most of a squad. And
you've got a spreadsheet going already, I know this.
Well, the maths going on in my brain today has been extreme, where I'm thinking, oh, this one, that one, this one, that one. And then I was...
You're starting to build a bit of a squad already,
yeah,
are you?
Yeah,
like, I bet you are.
It's kind of like eight or nine that I'm like, you're a bit of a lock. Like, I can
any
see
players that we haven't had prices for yet that you really want to know?
Yeah, it's the Chelsea boys.
Chelsea boys.
I only have four of them so far. I want all of the Chelsea boys. It's impossible.
So there we go, Chelsea. Get your fingers out. Or actually, official FPL.
Come
get your
now.
Fingers out, because the next logical step from the last 2 days is to get this game released. It can't be too far away, can it? Surely.
Well, it's not normally, is it? Normally, in seasons gone by, we get maybe, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 10 players. And then bang.
And then it's done.
There's the game. This time around, we've probably got like half the game of players.
Yeah.
So now
it's ready. We're ready, guys. Come on, let's get this game on.
The clubs are clearly ready. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So there we go, guys. Get in the comments below. I want to know if there's any players whose prices we haven't had yet. Who are you looking forward to seeing when this game finally launches in full? Who have you got your eye on? If you're already starting to... Yeah, Kai Havertz. And if you're starting to build a squad in your head already, get, again, in the comments. I want to see who the key picks are. Who's everybody going for? You're going for Sanchez in goal. We're going Rafinha. Foden. We have Foden's price?
No.
We haven't had Foden's price. There's another one we've got to look
out
for.
Come on now.
And of course, guys, if you are new to the FPL Family YouTube channel, as many of you will be at the start of a new season, make sure you hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell. We'll be doing live streams every Sunday night, usually about 8:30. After all the games have gone on and we can assess what's happened from an FPL perspective. But also, we'll be doing videos throughout the season as well, bits and pieces here and there. So hit that notify bell. Whenever we do a new video, you'll be the first to watch it. Sam, let's get on with some of these prices. And first and foremost, let's start with Manchester United then. So yesterday we sat here and we said Salah, 12.5 million, probably got to have him in your team. Harry Kane, the same money you were talking about. I'm going to have Harry Kane in my team. Bruno Fernandes, 12 million. You can't have all three, or can you?
I think you have to try.
I mean, you can need a lot of Watford defenders if you're going to have them three.
Oh, I don't think that's a bad thing. I was really surprised actually with this Bruno price. I was fully expecting 12.5. It's just
you're expecting to go up more.
I thought that they would put all of them in the same bracket. I thought we'd have Salah, I thought we'd have Bruno, and I thought we'd have Kane all in the same 12.5 remit, particularly after yesterday when Salah and Kane were sitting there together. I thought Bruno makes a lot of sense. So actually, he feels a bit like a bargain to me at 12 million.
Call that a bargain? Well, he sort of faded a little bit towards the end of last season. He's not having a break because he's away at the Euros. Who's to say he's going to hit the ground running? They've got the fixtures to do it, United. Yeah. They've got the fixtures.
You can't seriously be sitting there. In fact, yeah, you don't have Bruno then.
Well,
I'll watch you play catch-up for the whole season.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting for me, looking at some of the other prices, Maguire, Pogba, Rashford, difficult to disagree with any of those, I would suggest. Although Luke Shaw, I think, also coming in at 5.5.
And Wan-Bissaka, all three of them.
All three of them in at 5.5. So if you want to invest in the Man United defence, you've got to go to 5.5. What was the goalie? Was Henderson and De Gea? What were they priced at?
They are both priced at 5 million.
At 5 million. So guys, get in the comments. Let us know if you're going to invest in the United defence. And if you are, is the goalie the way to go? Is either Henderson or De Gea the way to go? But Greenwood was the one that caught my eye. If Manchester United signed Sancho, probably a non-option. But if they don't, is Greenwood an option at 7.5?
Maybe. For me, actually, it's interesting that you've gone Greenwood because I was like, Luke Shaw, locked in.
Wow.
5.5, I was expecting him to be a lot more money. Wow. In fact, there were a few defenders that got released today that I was expecting to be more expensive than they were.
Funny you should say that, Sam, because on the blue side of Merseyside, the prices got released fairly early on today. And if you saw the fixture difficulty ticker on the Fantasy Football Scout website by difficulty, the Toffees, Everton, currently managerless, by the way, so keep an eye on that. Ancelotti, of course, going to Real Madrid. And at time of recording, we don't know who's coming in. They've been heavily linked with Benitez, with Nuno Espirito Santo, but quite, at the moment, managerless.
Joining the managerless club.
A lot of clubs needing managers right now, but Everton top of that fixture difficulty rating. So their fixtures, Southampton, Leeds, Brighton, Burnley and Aston Villa, according to the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, doesn't get any better than that. So you're talking about defenders worth locking in. Luca Digne at 5.5 looks sensational value, doesn't he?
Super surprised at the Everton.
Yeah.
Actually, all the Everton prices caught me by surprise because
I
thought Dominic Calvert-Lewin was going to be more than he is as well. 8 million for Calvert-Lewin this time out.
Do you just think somebody at FPL Towers has gone, I'm going to make the managers choose between Bamford and Calvert-Lewin? You just got to make that choice between the two. Is that why they're in the same bracket?
Yeah, I think there seems to have been quite a lot of groupings of players this year. Yeah. So the premiums are, roughly speaking, and we'll talk about KDB shortly, I'm sure, but groupings of premiums. And then we've got this kind of group of forwards, haven't we, that's got Calvert-Lewin in there. It's got Ollie Watkins, who's just slightly cheaper in there.
Yeah, more
it's got
him
Bamford in there.
Yeah.
So you've kind of got this wave of players, Iheanacho's in that sort of price point too, of kind of that 7.5 to 8 million. But Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison, of course, also in that price bracket. Mm. I was fully anticipating Calvert-Lewin being 8.5. I wouldn't have been surprised if he was 8.5. But at 8, he seems like a really nice option. But you can't get past Luka Digne. 5.5.
It looks good.
But
again, talking about price points, him and Shaw, as you've mentioned before, the same price. So again, are FPL saying, look guys, you're going to have to choose.
Yeah, Creswell was in there yesterday as well, right?
That's right.
5.5. Yeah. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of kind of 5.5s. Priced in these guys slightly below what it looks like the Chelsea defence are going to be, given Aspilicueta's price earlier today. So I think there is a lot of choosing that's got to be done.
Yeah.
And you look at the 5.5s and there's a lot of attractive picks in there.
Yeah, I don't mind that though. And this is a strategy. If you're new to FPL, you can take this advice or not, but I've been playing it for a few years. And this is how I tend to play in game week one, is I try and find the key price points. Yeah. I look at those kind of pools of players that we've suggested, an 8 million forward, a 5.5 defender. you know, a couple of premium midfielders. And what I do is I try and pick based on those price points. And then early on in the season, if I've made a mistake with one of those price points, it should be, of course, you have to look at the price rises and the price falls, but it should be fairly easy to move around those price points, depending on which players start to come to the fore and show some form. Is that the way you like to play the game as well, or are you a bit more laissez-faire when it comes to price points?
No, I am very much of a
similar mindset to you.
I like to have a premium in every position because it means you can move easily. If that premium doesn't perform, it's very easy to go to anybody else in the game that is performing because you've got the budget that's already set aside. There's no need for points here. So Everton looking like a great team to invest in because there's some real value there. And as you've mentioned, fixtures are really nice.
But the uncertainty of no manager just, for me, just takes the gloss off it a little bit. But no doubt some good prices in there. And Luka Dean, you're absolutely on my watch list. You mentioned Ollie Watkins a second ago. We're talking about players we're locking in. With Buendia added to the ranks at Aston Villa, who, by the way, wasn't on their graphic, but they did release their full price list.
Thank you, Villa.
And I think 6.5 Buendia. So for a player that got, I think, 31 goal involvements for Norwich last season, all right, different environment, different team, maybe he has to adapt, all the rest of it. But surely the creativity that he's going to provide, along with Grealish and others in that Villa team, is only going to benefit Ollie Watkins at 7.5, isn't he? He's going to be the beneficiary of all that.
I was delighted with the Ollie Watkins price, I've got to be honest. I thought that that was a really nice pick in that slightly more expensive than, you know, the average, I suppose. He's sort of just getting a little bit more that you've got to think about it.
Yeah.
But at 7.5, in a Villa side that were so much better last season than they were to the season before, that really seem to have settled down and really playing for each other, have added well to their squad
so far
with Buendia. Yeah. And Buendia, let's not forget, has got Premier League pedigree now. He has played there once before. All right, it didn't go that well in the season that Norwich came
unlucky with injuries, wasn't he?
But he was a bit unlucky with injury. And I think in this Villa side, he will perform incredibly well. Now, whether Grealish is still there or not remains to be seen. But if they manage to keep Grealish and they've got Buendia and Ollie Watkins, that attack looks like a formidable force. And I would like to be invested in that for sure.
Well, certainly with the first three fixtures for Aston Villa, Watford, Newcastle, Brentford, before it gets more difficult in four with Chelsea than Everton, the first three, I think this is a team where you have to place your bets in game week one on Aston Villa. And for me, I'm probably going to be placing them on Ollie Watkins, I would suggest. Answer me this. If Grealish goes to Manchester City and is 8 million, has he become more or less of an option for you? Because he's all of a sudden part of the roulette, isn't he?
He's much less of an option if he goes
of an option. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Because if you think about all the other players that they've got at Manchester City, the guaranteed game time is never, ever there. At Aston Villa, he is their captain. The guaranteed game time is there if he is fully fit. And remains fit. So,
I don't know, you know, Grealish in that city, they're going to pay a few quid for him, but they can they afford him and Harry Kane?
Absolutely,
that's the
they
question.
Can't. They absolutely cannot go over 100 million on two players this summer. They get done by financial fair play, surely.
Well, possibly. That's a whole nother video.
Surely they can't.
Let's go to the Blues of Chelsea. So we mentioned no Kai Havertz, who I was really looking forward to seeing in terms of price, but we did get Werner at 9 million. We did get Azpilicueta at 6, Kante at 5, and the goalkeeper Mendy at 6. For me, I'm a bit put off by Mendy at 6. That's just the wrong side of where I would have liked him to be for that Chelsea defence. Ditto Azpilicueta, I think. And I think this goes back to the fact that Chelsea defensively last season were sensational. Clean sheet after clean sheet. You can see why they're being priced at 6 million. So you've got to look elsewhere if you're going to look elsewhere. I, for one, am not looking at Kante because although he's cheap at 5 million, he's never really been an FPL asset. He's not that sort of player. And Werner, I don't think I'm going to make the same mistake that I made at the beginning of last season and go in too early on him. So I'm just being patient with Chelsea. I want to see what the other players come in particular Havertz, in particular Mason Mount, and then go from there.
It's interesting, isn't it, with the Chelsea picks? Because I totally agree with you on Mendy. If you've been 5.5 and was in there, if he was at the same price point as Martinez, I think there would have been a conversation. Because I think you can still have a conversation about having Martinez as your keeper for next season if you want to set and forget. But at 6, I mean, that's Edison price point usually. That's kind of like real premium keeper now.
But he's a premium. That's a premium defence you're buying 100%. Into if you buy him, right?
It is 100%. So I'm interested to see whether they price the rest of the Chelsea defence at the same price as they put Mendy and Azpilicueta. Do we see the likes of Reece James and Ben Chilwell, do we see them all going in at that same price, or is there some variation?
Well, the challenge with those guys is that actually they probably have a bit more attacking upside than Azpilicueta does. Mm. So could we see 6-5 for Chilwell and James?
I mean, I can't see them being the same price as Robertson. And this is why I'm so fascinated by this Chelsea list. Because
Robbo's 7, isn't he?
Robbo's 7, but Van Dijk's at 6.5. Yeah. Man City released Diaz at 6 today. So I can't see them being more expensive than Ruben Diaz.
Can't believe Diaz was 6. That's incredible. Let's talk about him right now, actually. Diaz 6. Yeah, I was shocked. I was expecting a 6-5. No doubt about it for Diaz. Because the way that he likes to hoover up those bonus points. And he's a threat from set pieces like we saw last season. And he's in a Man City side that keeps clean sheets at 6. And he starts. So he's, for me, definitely worthy of a look. But what else? Mahrez in at 9 million. Sterling in at 11. But De Bruyne in at 12. What are we saying about KDB? Is that too expensive for Kevin?
My mind blew when I saw this KDB one. Right. Honestly, I didn't see. Did you
see
it?
Same as Bruno, same as Mane. 12 million for De Bruyne.
Well, that's because Mane's in the wrong price point.
Mane's a whole nother video.
But KDB and Bruno. Now, look, I am not by any stretch saying that KDB is a bad player, because I honestly think that he's one of the best players in the Premier League. But he wasn't consistently fit last season. He missed half the season through injury.
Yeah.
He's taken a price rise this season on the back of not the best season that KDB's ever had. I just can't fathom how he's 12. But then you're adding him to that conversation, aren't you? And I think that this is what the game's going to be this year. You're going to have to pick two of these premium midfielders.
This is it. FPL making us pick, right?
Yeah.
Do you want Bruno or KDB? You can't have both.
And Salah. He's in the same point.
He is.
Basically, the conversation, you can have two. You can have Bruno and Salah. You can have KDB and Salah. You can have KDB and Bruno. Or what's the other one that I've missed? You can only have, you can't have all three of them.
Is Sterling in the conversation at 11?
Not if he performs like he did
at
Man City last season.
Got to show me a lot more than last season.
He has been better in the Euros, though.
Has he?
Yes, I think he has been better. I mean, it might be because the rest of England have been pretty woeful, so he's actually looked okay. But he has been better. I think much like Mane, at 11 million, you're not going Sterling. But KDB, he would be a tough pick at 12. You're basically ruling out Salah or Bruno, I think.
I wonder whether there just could be a bit more value elsewhere. And actually, for Mahrez at 9 million, that's worthy of a look, in my opinion. Because again, here's a player that's not got any European championships, an African player that's coming in, let's use the term fresh or more fresh than some of his European counterparts. Maybe he is a player that Pep looks to early on. I don't know. Lots more conversations to be had.
When we get Foden too.
About the Pep roulette. And of course we've got to see Foden. And of course we've got to see who Man City sign. Because if they do, as has been suggested on Sky Sports News today, sign Harry Kane.
No.
You've got to think that Kevin De Bruyne is putting one on Kane's head every single week. It's
can't have them both though, can you?
You can't.
You're going to really struggle to own both KDB and Kane and Bruno and Salah.
No doubt. You're absolutely it's absolutely right. Let's talk about Southampton then. Talking about dead ball specialists, midfield maestros, whatever you want to call them. James Ward-Prowse in at 6-5. Che Adams, who's having a very good European Championships for Scotland, in at 7. Walker Peters in defence at 5. Armstrong at 6. What tickles your fancy from Southampton? Anything? I wasn't that excited about this one, I'll be honest.
I was interested to see that Danny Ings has taken a bit of a drop this year. So he is in
the 8?
He's 8, yeah. So so Che Adams at 7, not much difference now between them. Before, in the past, it was a bit of a marked difference. You would go Adams because it was a few million cheaper.
You'd save some money over Ings, yeah.
Whereas now that saving of money is much less. The defence, with Carl Walker-Peters in at the price point he is, feels a little bit expensive to me. Given that they weren't
exactly a threat, there was an EKWP. Showed that early doors last season.
Defensively, they weren't great last year. Mm. They were leaky. They were chopping and changing their keepers. Who, by the way, they've priced both of them at 4.5, just so that you can't make a decision or you got to go both.
McCarthy and Forster.
Both in at 4.5. Okay. So I mean, you want two rotating keepers? There you are. Just have them.
I guess the challenge you've got with Southampton also, despite not being too excited about this, is it's Everton away first, Man United, Newcastle away, West Ham, Man City. If you look at the ticker, it's only Norwich that have got worse fixtures according to the Fantasy Football Scout website. So they are very much a wait and see for me. I'm not getting too excited.
The positive thing about Southampton is that if you go for an early wild card and they do start the season well, there will be huge differentials that you can invest in.
That's
so
true. That's
I think
true.
They are a team that, because they're not exceptionally expensive, you can afford to just wait a couple of game weeks and see what they do.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the Foxes and let's go to Leicester City. Iheanacho, who was obviously a big favourite for us at the back end of last season, again, 7.5, cannot be a coincidence that they've lumped him in there with Ollie Watkins and a few others, Bamford, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, all in that price point. Again, it's all about the price
make
point,
the
isn't
choices.
It? You've got to make the choice. You've got to place your bet somewhere. Madison, though, coming in at 7 was an interesting one for me. Injured a bit in and out of the team, lacking a bit of form, showed a bit and then got injured again. So maybe the inconsistency or maybe the lack of luck that he had around injuries last season has contributed to that 7 million valuation. But if Leicester can click again like they did last season and Madison can stay fit, I think of all the prices we can see on the screen, he's the one that jumps out to me.
Yeah, he is for me too, because I have some slight concerns about Iheanacho on the basis that obviously European football for Leicester this season, and we spoke about this with West Ham yesterday, we haven't got a huge squad at Leicester.
Yeah.
They look like they're going to be signing some more, but it's not a huge squad. So we've got players that have got to play twice in a week fairly regularly over the course of this season. Now, what does that mean in terms of the Premier League? Does that mean we still see Vardy and Iheanacho playing together? I don't know, particularly when Maddison and Harvey Barnes are both fit. So
that's
has some
key,
question marks
yeah,
around Iheanacho. But Maddison, I think we have seen consistency from him over the course of the last couple of seasons when he's been fit and available. And at the price point he is, I can see him being a nice differential pick in that midfield.
Yeah, because again, he's again price point. We're talking about him in the same breath as Rafinha probably, aren't we, and a few others. So I like the look of him at 7. We know what he's like with the set pieces, with the corners, with the set plays. So he's going to tick over those assists. And I think if he was up in the 8 million bracket, I'd say, well, no, I'd want some goals to complement that. But at 7, maybe I'm okay for him to tick over. Never really going to be a captaincy option. But as you quite rightly say, I see a lot of managers looking at the way Iheanacho finished last season and going, bang, 7-5, got to have him. Maybe you have him and Watkins and save some money and pile into the midfield premiums. But I don't know. I'm still not convinced that Iheanacho is in Rodgers' best 11.
No.
I'm just not convinced. The only thing I will say is that Vardy at 10-5 is, I think, likely to see reduced minutes this season. He's on the way out on Vardy. He's getting a bit. He's getting on a bit.
He's about the same age as me. Can you stop this with him being up?
It's true. It's true. And maybe Iheanacho is the heir to the throne. But that is an unknown right now. And I want to see Leicester come out in the first few games against Wolves, West Ham and Norwich before a game against Man City, which I probably won't invest. So maybe first wild card, game week 5 or 6, I might think again. But right now, they're a bit of a watch and see for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah? All right, let's move on. Where else haven't we gone? We've been to Man City. I've been to Wolves yet. We haven't been to Wolves yet. The only club that put out this really weird graphic that was not in line with any of the other releases.
Where's the picture of their players?
Where's the players? I don't know. They've got just their faces. But Raul Jimenez and Traore coming in at 7, 5 and 6. What do you think of Wolves? Difficult start to the season with Leicester, Spurs and Man United before it gets a bit better for them, Watford and Brentford in game weeks 4 and 5. So for me, again, hate to reel out the same rhetoric, but they're a watch and see for me. And I want to see how Raul Jimenez gets back into this team. If he's straight back in the team, I don't know. I've not heard as to whether he's going to be straight back in the team. And of course, they'll be under new management with the new Portuguese fella coming in, whose name I always forget. Is it Braga? He's coming to replace Nuno Espirito Santo, isn't he? So lots of change going on at Wolves. So a wait and see for me.
It's tough. I agree with you. I really am everything crossed that Jimenez is back as an
absolutely,
FPLS
yeah.
this season, because he is one player.
Missed him last year, didn't
I
we?
Absolutely love owning Jimenez. He is, and I've called him on numerous seasons before, FPL royalty. And I really
very
hope
consistent.
That he
yeah.
will be in my squad for this season at some point.
And again, in the Watkins category, in the Calvert-Lewin category, in the Bamford category. Yeah. So there's another player
it's
to add.
It's actually quite cheap because
to your
of what's happened
point.
This season. If
well,
he's fit,
well, that's it.
He could be a bargain.
If he's fit and he comes back and he's as consistently goal-scoring as he was. Remember that run he went on maybe a couple of seasons ago where it was just
legend.
Like a goal a week?
Yeah.
Never braced, but just a goal a week.
Ticked
whenever
over,
he got the goals over. Tended to pick up the bonus points as well, because the way that Wolves play is not quite gung-ho and shots here, shots there with
might
loads of different
now.
Chances.
New manager.
It could be.
Who knows?
And that's what we need to wait and see. So therefore, they are a wait and see for me. Let's talk about Southampton. No, we've been to Southampton. Let's not go there. Let's go to Newcastle. I'm losing track. Newcastle. The one that stood out for me, Alan Saint-Maximin. Reclassified as a forward?
Did someone have too many coffees when they did this one?
Yes,
I'm really upset about this one because I, as you all know, if you've been watching FPL Family for a couple of years now, I absolutely love...
You love St. Max.
I love St. Max.
Yeah, I love him too. He's a good player.
I can't own him now, can I? Because you put him as a forward. How can you put him? You can't pick him because he's now in that precious three spot. He was a perfect forward.
I guarantee a draft that you will do... Between now and August the 14th, we'll have him in there. And what will happen is you'll have a Watkins or a Calvert-Lewin or a Bamford, and you'll need a million and a half somewhere, and you'll be like, oh, could I do Watkins to St. Max for a million? Could I do it? You 100% do it. Everyone will do it. But elsewhere, Wilson in at 7.5, Almiron and Dubravka in there too. What we're saying is Dubravka a 4.5 goalkeeper pick that you would rely on, given the fixtures are West Ham, Villa, Saints, Man U and Leeds. It's a difficult-ish looking start for Newcastle. What are we saying?
If you're going rotating keepers at 4.5, though,
okay,
I don't think he's that bad a pick, particularly if you choose to rotate him against somebody like Sanchez at Brighton. Between the two of them, you might actually have some quite nice options there. But, yeah, it's not ideal. I don't think defensively they're that solid. I do really like St. Max. I do still like Callum Wilson, and I think he's got potential. But. And that's the issue. That there's always a little bit of a but that hangs over Newcastle.
All right, well, only the two new boys to go then. Let's talk about Brentford. Really excited to see these guys in the Premier League. And I think this was a team where I think they put their whole list out, didn't they? So
yes,
although
they did, yeah.
Ivan Toney obviously stands out, something ridiculous. Like, what was he, 30 goals or something last season? Ridiculous amount of goals. So at 6.5, you can see why he's priced a bit more than your average newcomer to the Premier League, Ivan Toney.
They put him alongside St. Max. I've got to make a choice.
Toney and St. Max at a price point there, aren't they? Yeah, that's a good shout. But Mbeumo, I think is how you say his name, 5.5. I noticed he played alongside Toney in a slightly more advanced position in the playoff final. And also they have this other player, Sergei Canos. And again, not in any way saying I'm a Brentford expert yet. I do need to brush up. So if you're a Brentford fan, get in touch, get in the comments. Let me know who we should be picking in FPL. But Sergei Canos, 9 goals, 8 assists last season for Brentford. So there are some options, right? Mm. And Sergei Canos, I think, is a 5.5 million midfielder. So we can have a conversation about these guys. There's some good value, I think.
There is. And Mbeumo.
Mbeumo.
That's not right. Mbeumo.
8 goals, 10 assists last season, by the way.
Potentially.
All right.
Could be the one that's out of position here. He could be the one that's been wrongly categorised, because a lot of the starting 11s I've looked at this season have him starting up alongside Toney as opposed to in midfield. Now, if that's where he's going to play in the Premier League, we might just get a bit more joy out of him than as standard we get at that price point of midfielders. So he could be one to keep a little watchful eye on.
It's Toney's the one to have a look at, though, isn't it? I just looked it up. 33 goals, 10 assists last season. If he even gets half of that for 6.5, that is good value.
Well, I think if you want to go Kane and then somebody out of that 8.0, 7.5 bracket, then topping that with Toney...
Could be all right.
Could be the way that you structure that forward line.
But how do you pick between him and St. Max? It's so difficult. let's go to the Hornets, then. Last but not least, Watford. Ismail Assar... in another nicely priced midfield asset. I feel like there's a lot of premiums that I want, but there's also a lot of nicely priced assets that I want in this midfield. And he's one of them, Sar at 6 million. Elsewhere, though, Serralta, the Chilean, who I think is currently playing in the Copa America. I think I read the other day that he pulled a bit of a calf injury. Maybe he's nursing something there. So for 4.5, keep an eye on him. But if it's not serious, and I don't think it is, by the way, don't expect it to affect his season. Could be a nice option. From what I read on a lot of the Watford blogs, he is going to be quite key to their defensive solidity next season. Not blessed with a lot of goal-scoring ability. Only scored 5 ever in his whole career. But at 4-5, will get minutes. So maybe he's one to have a look at.
Yeah, I think so. I think he was the one that Ben Foster was talking about on the FPL show at the back end of last season.
I think he was. Yeah,
talking about how he would be a really, really good FPL pick for this season. And honestly, he should know. He plays in front of these guys.
What about Danny Rose, though? Same money, and we know what we get with Danny Rose. Bad defender, but he can go forward. No, he's rubbish, Sam. But he can go forward, right?
The problem I have with Danny Rose is that he hasn't played football for like 18 months. So, and the Spurs pictures of him, he wasn't exactly looking at his most fit. So he's got a lot of work to do.
Nice.
I was being really nice. He's got a lot of work to do in pre-season. But I actually think he's a really good signing for Wolves. And I think he could really add to their defence, which was really, really good in the Championship
last season. Yeah.
So if they can continue that.
More solid than the other two, than Brentford and Norwich. But Brentford and Norwich, I think Watford of the three were the ones that probably struggled for goals a bit, but actually defensively were all right.
Yeah, and at 4.5 for all of their defenders, for me, that is perfect. You pick one of them alongside maybe Mitchell at Palace now, PVA's not there, and you've got this beautiful back line where you've saved yourself a load of money in 4.5 defenders who you don't mind benching, and then you get the benefit of some extra premiums as a result.
Mm, and the Watford fixtures don't look too bad. Second only to Everton on the ticket with Villa, Brighton, Spurs, Wolves and Norwich. So not a bad start.
Danny
not
Rose
a baptism
score
of
against
fire.
Spurs.
It's definitely going to happen. I can see it happening. But Watford second on the ticket. So yeah, investing in one of their defenders at 4.5 wouldn't be such a bad shout. And if I was a betting man, I think I would go for Serrato, you know.
Yeah, I think
just
I
because
would.
He's a bit safer potentially than Danny
Foster
Rose.
Said so.
And Ben Foster says so. Well, there we go, guys. Let us know. There's the welcome. Let us know what you think of the prices that we've had. And it can't be too long before the game is live. So keep an eye on the website. Keep an eye on the app because it won't be long before the game's live and we'll know all the prices, including Kai Havertz.
Come on.
And we can start putting together.
I want Foden.
You don't want Foster. He's 4.5 rotated with the other guys.
It's because we were talking about Foster. I had Foster in my head for a second then.
Foden and Havertz, the ones we're looking for.
I know what Foster is.
Let us know in the comments who you're looking out for. Can't be long, Sam, before we are doing our first draft. So we will be back, as you'd expect. It sounds stupid because we're weeks away from FPL, from the Premier League actually kicking off. But when that game launches, you better believe there's going to be some first drafts being put up by the likes of you and the likes of me.
Can I lock it so you can't watch?
You can do your own videos, no problem.
No, I want you to not be able to go on our YouTube channel. No, watch it.
You're not going to ban me from my own YouTube channel, so I know that's not going to happen. But guys, if you're new to the channel, hit that subscribe button, then you will know when those videos go live. And leave us a like before you go. Great to see you, as always. Look out for the game going live in the next few days, I think. See you very, very soon. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.